Hello and welcome to Motoring First. Today we're talking about Mahindra's re-entry into the 400 class. And if I've confused you successfully, it's not about the Mojo 400. If you want a Mojo 400, leave us a comment. We're talking about Mahindra having updated the XUV 400, which if I remember correctly, is a car that Karthik really enjoyed driving the last time, but he thought it was unfinished. So the question is, have they finished it or is it totally finished?
I think saying it was unfinished is putting it mildly.
Oh. Mild is not something that I do very well.
Exactly.
So obviously, I'm completely misinformed here.
Correct. For you to call it unfinished is putting it too gently, right? So I'm going to clarify. Shumi did not mean that. It was incomplete by a mile and a half.
Oh.
And basically, it was not recommendable by us as much as we admired and respected what they had done as their first proper modern EV that way. But it was a no-go.
Shall we do a quick summary of what was wrong with it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So basically, the XUV 400 was what is the XUV 300 in its original form, which
right.
is the longer than 4 meters in length. They shortened it to make it sub 4 meters. So it's the same car, but with an electric.
I'm only nodding because I'm hoping he has a thread here that he can continue, because Mahindra's names I have lost complete track of. So 300, 400, 500, 800, I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully it will settle down, but not anytime soon.
Okay.
Because there's now the XUV E8, E9, all of that also in the pipeline, right? So the XUV 400 came in, and a good size vehicle, good powertrain. Like, it has a lot of things which are Mahindra DNA, like performance is strong,
right?
Can be fun to drive. It missed out on several things that, okay, this is actually a good thing to talk about right now. It's one of the things that I've been thinking about, and that's Mahindra's trajectory, right? Since 2020, since the Thar came out, Thar was a big step for Mahindra, right? It repositioned who they were as a brand, right? Then we went to the XUV 700, which was a new high.
Yes.
Right? Then we went to the Scorpio N. And that was, let's say, at the same level as the XUV 700, not higher.
Sure.
But it showed that it was a very impressive trajectory that the brand, in terms of what products they're engineering, has taken, right?
Correct.
What they're doing internally, what they're creating. And then we came to the XUV 400. And this is a major downward trend in the Mahindra story. Right?
Because it wasn't as competent as the other three cars before it.
Not at all. It felt like they had rushed through the process, and they did rush through the process of creating the XUV 400. To get into the EV game, because Tata had stolen a march on this front, right? They had multiple offerings. Mahindra had nothing really in the mass market segment. So this was a way for them to get their foot into the door until the new generation products came, which, and if you know, Mahindra has created a new platform called InGlow, which is grounds up.
InGlow.
I-N-G. India Global.
Okay.
At least I think that's what it is. So it's a new EV platform that's going to be the base for all their future EVs.
That's
right?
The B. No.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, so InGlow is in the B.
InGlow is the base of the B.
Huh.
Right? So B is, you know, it sounds funny, but I like the idea of the name. The B.
Again, I'm not disputing any of this. I'm just saying, do we have to name everything?
Yeah.
And do they all have to have so many layers of names where a customer has no hope of keeping track of which is what?
Yeah, I think this is like a competitive thing, right? Once it starts, it's like a snowball. You can't stop. And I think it started with GM. I don't know why, but in my head somewhere it started with GM. Because I remember the Beats brochure when they came out. I think it was the diesel. That's the first time I remember when the Beat diesel came out. And the brochure was filled with acronyms, you know?
Hmm.
Like, you'll take and label everything with something so it becomes yours.
So you're saying GM started it and Apple followed that trajectory, and now Apple brands everything.
Apple brands everything.
Yeah.
How's
Apple can't do anything without putting a name on it, no?
That is there.
Like, if they put an updated screen, it has to be Retina screen.
Hmm.
And then they update that, it'll be something else. Retina to ho gaya, abhi kya bolega? Brain screen.
Apple learned from GM.
I don't know, but see, we've seen TVS also do this, where you can't have a cradle frame. It has to be synchro stiff.
Hmm.
And Bajaj did this with Nitrox. And Nitrox actually stuck, because any gas charge suspension today, people seem to call it Nitrox. They don't even understand what it means, but isme Nitrox hota to behtar hota, you know? So I see the power of it, but it almost feels like they're misusing it now, because you're just throwing names at people and people don't understand what these names are for. What did you achieve?
And like, we started with Mahindra trajectory, another great concept to talk about here. These are the ways that any brand will try to create their own asset, so to speak. Like, this technology is mine by changing one little letter here. Don't get confused by it. It's okay. It's not going to make a world of a difference in that, right? So these are the brochure lines that you see, so many hundreds of them at a given point in time. And there'll be slight differences between one brand and the other. They are not a world of a difference. So do not get confused by them. Keep your decision making simple.
And to the brands, if you're going to confuse your own customers, I don't think you're taking them seriously enough, honestly. Sorry, let's get back to it.
What were we talking about? XUV?
We were talking about how the XUV was a step back for Mahindra from the trajectory they'd shown with their previous three cars.
Correct. So there is a very important question that I have now for the next product from Mahindra, which will be the Thar 5-door or the Armada, whatever it is
called. Armado.
Armado, yeah, okay.
No,
yeah.
Armado, it can't be. No, Armado is their defense vehicle.
Really?
I think I saw a story somewhere of some very weird looking thing, which is all armor plated and whatever. Yeah. And that thing's called the Armado. So,
but the defense vehicles look pretty cool. Yeah.
Some of them do. This one looks just ungainly.
Okay. Yeah. So what happens next will be an indicator of where Mahindra is really headed in terms of their core engineering. Right. And that was the thing with the XUV 400 when it came out. In some ways, it did surprise and impress with what it was doing as an EV. But on other fronts, it just felt unbelievably incomplete.
Okay.
Right?
Give me an example.
So, like, for instance, the performance aspect was so Mahindra. Like, it was exciting. It was fizzy. It just delivered more than you expected on that front, right? They've done the same thing with the XUV 300, for instance. Hmm. Small SUV, but so peppy, so punchy, right? And you felt the same way about the XUV 400. And it's not that it's just at low speeds. Even at higher speeds, the XUV 400 was quick.
Hmm.
But it lacked traction control. It lacked ESP, both of which were critical to this vehicle being recommendable to anybody.
Understood.
Right? Right now, you have to layer on caveats. Hey, are you experienced? Oh, will you drive carefully? Oh, you know, on bumpy roads, be careful. Oh, while taking U-turns, be careful.
Hmm.
Because the performance was so strong.
Right.
And the tires could not keep up with the torque, and it has a lot of torque.
Right.
So that just made it feel unsafe.
Understood.
Right. Sure, if you are level-headed, if you are experienced, if you are watchful, all of that, fine, you'll manage. Like, when I drove it first, I came back and I told Shumi that, you know, I enjoyed driving this, but I don't know if I can go out and recommend it to anybody just like that. You know?
Understood. He just called himself watchful and careful and skilled.
Not subtly. Necessarily skilled, but I can choose to be, let's say cautious. Cautious is the right word.
You don't have to defend it. You're an expert in the field. It is okay for you to be cautious, skilled, and capable of managing a car that can't manage itself.
I don't want people to think that I would be driving fast recklessly.
You are saying that this car has nothing to do with fast. You are saying making a U-turn, it will spin itself out.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with fast.
So that's the watchfulness is the critical part. Because once you understand that these are the limitations, then you will be like going into a corner. Usually you'll say carry 80 kilometers an hour because you know that corner or whatever. Now in this car, the first time you go around that corner, you'll say, no, not 80.
Hmm.
Right? I'll do it at 60. I'll see what it's like. So you'll take that time to get to know the vehicle and then decide. And then you'll change it again when it rains or you see this traffic slowing down ahead of you. You'll say, I don't know what's there. So that watchfulness was key to the vehicle.
Okay. So have they fixed it?
Yes.
What is the car called now?
Yes. So we are waiting for the XUV 400 EL Pro Max. We are at Pro right now. So Pro Max will come, and we do need a Pro Max, Mahindra. It's something that is, I hope, still happening.
We'll come to Max. Hang on a minute. What does Pro mean?
Professional.
As in, they were unprofessional before this.
Provider. I don't know.
Provider.
Because it's providing more features now.
So nobody has an idea what the Pro means.
I won't ask. It's useless.
Okay, and what does the EL stand for?
I already told. Electrifying. There's the low version, which is EC, which is, I guess, not electrifying. That's
what does the C stand for?
Electric charge.
And the other one's not?
Electric life.
You're making this stuff up?
No.
You're completely making this stuff up?
No.
Has Mahindra not clarified this, or you don't care enough to figure out what they mean?
Right now on Mahindra's site, I cannot even find the prices of the XUV 400.
But it's on sale?
Yeah. Okay.
No, wait. I know what has happened. Mahindra is in those three cars that they made so well. They're so used to long waiting periods. They're not expecting anybody to ask for the XUV400's price for the next, let's see what, 2 years.
Well, that's not how it's going for EVs. So I think people need to know the prices.
Nexon has no waiting period?
I think all the waiting periods are coming down. So
okay,
there's a change. So yeah, I mean, you see Nexon slash prices of the EV, right? Of the Max.
Yeah.
And that was also a kind of like a response to the XUV400, which has actually come in with this XUV400 EL Pro, right? Which is priced between 15.5 to somewhere 17.5 lakhs. So it's about 2 lakh rupees cheaper than the Nexon EV Max.
Okay.
Right? While having similar levels of performance, being a bigger size vehicle, so having more space, more practicality, all those kind of things, while having lesser features for sure. So okay, that's how it sits between the two. Mahindra have gone out and fixed the XUV400 in terms of its basic requirements needed to be sellable today, to be recommendable, at least the way I think about
it. Okay, explain that.
Right. So first was the safety front, right? ESP, it needed to have that. It needed to have traction control. It's got that now. Because electric torque and the kind of torque it has, 310 Newton meters, which is a lot, it really gets the wheel spinning very easily. So that was needed for it to be safe on the road in all kinds of conditions. They've given it that, right?
Good system, qualitatively?
Yeah. So it has, its tire size is also slightly narrower than the Nexons. I'm just comparing it because that's the closest.
Yeah.
So it could have done with wider tires as well, because it still is really quick to accelerate. And you can feel the wheel spinning up when you're taking U-turns and stuff like that. But the good thing is now when the electronic aids cut in, it's smooth.
Okay.
It's not like it's not a start and stop kind of feel. It's a smooth intervention. So it lets you drive normally. But you do get the sense that, yeah, I had gone over the limit of the tire here.
Fair enough.
So that has been added in, and that was critical to this vehicle. The other aspect that was critical to the XUV400 was the experience inside the cabin. Because the XUV300 is built on the SsangYong Tivoli, which came from, you know, South Korea ages ago. And it's been around for a long time. So that cabin was nice for a time, you know, a time period. But today it feels outdated. So they've gone and updated that, the center console. And also now it's got a new 10-inch touchscreen. It's got Mahindra's connected car systems. It's got a digital display for the driver. So that needed to change for sure. Those two screens needed to change. The driver's instrument cluster earlier was like, it felt like a time warp. Now it's got a digital screen like we've seen in the XUV700. So those two screens, you know, similar system in terms of the interaction.
It had a name. This system also had a name, no? Adrenox.
Adrenox, yes.
Can't believe I remembered that.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Oh, that was the one with the missing chip for the longest time. And for the longest time, the Adreno X had only some functions and then the chip was to be yes, now I remember why I remember.
Yeah.
Got it. So are there copper highlights in the Adreno X system for the XUV400?
There are copper highlights everywhere. Right. So there is...
I do remember.
Yeah. So in the system, does it have it in the system? I'm not sure. We'll just check it out. But I don't think there are copper highlights unless where the car is there. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe the C stands for copper.
Oh, nice. That's a good idea.
Then what does the L stand for?
Or is it bronze? Is it bronze?
No, it was copper.
Copper. Yeah. Copper highlights.
It was copper.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're talking about that, the design of the car is basically the same. It's the same square looking car. It's longer than 4 meters. So remember that this is a point that must be stressed on. That in terms of size, Mahindra had actually taken a bigger vehicle and squeezed it into the sub 4 meter space. So in terms of width, it's always been wider than all the other cars in this space.
Right.
And now that it's full length, it's about 4.2 meters. It looks more balanced. So the design is good-ish. I like the square elements of it, but I do not like the tail lamps. The tail lamps are like, they've got this Freddy the Slasher kind of effect to them, which is a little weird.
But Mahindra had stopped doing super complicated, super ornate design details. They've gone back to it.
This one, that's the one bit that is still there. It's ornate. It still has those, you know, that closed off grille with the copper arrowheads on it all over. So it looks a little flashy, but in this white shade that we got it, it looked good.
Okay.
It was looking nice that way. And as they did, even with the XP400, when it first came out, they'd added fog lamps. That's the only real change on the outside. For the car, the big change is on the inside.
Okay.
Before we go in, have to stress on that again, this is a bigger car than the Nexon.
Okay.
In terms of its overall size, which means it has more practicality, like its boot, which is massive. And it has actually great ground clearance as well, 200 millimeters or so. So it's solid even as an EV. And on the inside, they really had to do a lot of fixes to get it to feel current.
Yeah. So you said they added the screens back from the XUV with the infotainment system. What else have they done?
The center console design has been changed completely. Does it look modern? No. It feels like, again, they've had to kind of run to catch up, kind of say like, let's get this to be, what is the term that we use? MVP, right?
Yeah.
So it has to get to MVP.
Minimum viable product. Yeah. It's a terrible way to think about long-term businesses.
So it's got to that point because the essential cabin is the same, but the center console has been redesigned so that it just functionally it's better. So in terms of features, it now gets dual zone climate control.
Okay.
It has big chunky buttons, and in contrast, the buttons on top, which were the strange ones, was absolutely like pencil thin, kind, not even pencil thin, half a pencil thin, you know, like buttons for drive mode. So it's just that thin, you know, that's still there. That's not been redesigned. And even the controls for the air conditioning, they're big, but the sometimes the logic is strange. Instead of just saying sync, it has a button that says dual. So dual is when it engages both modes separately instead of it just going to sync. Okay. Basics.
Sounds messy. Sounds like they took a step forward, but they took a very messy step forward.
Yeah. It just still, you still get the sense that this is, they're doing it off their back foot. Right?
Yeah. No, and I understand why they must be on the back foot, because the EV market in India, as we've said so many times, is just, it's nearly over. There's no space left in this market to grow at all. Where are the customers? Everybody's got a car already. India is the most penetrated car market of all, with the highest penetration of electric vehicles. So the time is running out. Mahindra must rush through this. Sorry, you were talking about screens have come. Center console is redone. Some of the older buttons, which were kind of odd, remain. New controls have arrived in other places that look good. Some chunky buttons and some really tiny ones. So some little bit of mess in front of you.
Yeah.
How about the seats? How about comfort? How about space?
So seats... That's why I enjoyed driving the XUV400 even earlier. The basics are so right about this car. On the outside, it's the size. On the inside, it's the sense of space. It's the seats also, right? They're large, they're comfy. The seating position for the driver is great. And, you know, driving to Pune and back, it didn't feel tiring at all. You know, you didn't feel the resistance from the powertrain or from just how you were sitting. It was relaxed and enjoyable.
And if you had a family, it would be the same experience for all of them.
That's the good thing about this car, because the back seat is wide. It is big in terms of how it feels on the inside. So it feels more spacious because of that. So if you have people in the back, they could also spend time there, enjoy their time there, right? So overall, as a family car, this feels like a good size vehicle.
Right.
The seats are good. The only thing is that the rear could have a bit more support. The
minor issues.
Minor stuff.
It's okay. Yeah.
On the whole, definitely a very usable. Feels like a car with solid basics, right?
Okay.
That is what I like about it. And that's from the design of, I mean, the overall size, the cabin comfort, the performance from the engine, even the way the suspension works at lower speeds. And that's where we come to the point of calibration of finishing this product.
Okay.
Right? So I think there were a lot of things that we wanted in our wish list for Mahindra to get right so that the XUV400 is sorted.
Okay.
A lot of which remains incomplete.
Shall we go through that list?
Yes. So in terms of calibration, right? The steering is still so light. It feels toyish, right? That shouldn't be the case. This is a vehicle with a lot of performance. This is a vehicle which can get quick really, really fast. It should feel serious as well. And this steering right now, you could say it's convenient for low speeds, but it's too light.
Hyundai. Old Hyundai.
This is...
worse than old Hyundai.
This is really light.
So just to clarify, when we talk about calibrations, we are talking about how a manufacturer chose to set up certain systems in the car so that they talk to the experience of driving. and they do have a choice. So if you wanted a sportier car, you'd make the steering a little bit more weighty and heavy, so you'd feel a lot more of what you're doing, rather than it's very good at parking speeds, but on the highway when you're trying to hold a straight line, it's a little bit wishy-washy. And what he's basically saying is they could have created a more powerful experience and Mahindra's fallen short. The first thing he's mentioned is the steering. We'll move on.
Right. So the steering is something, because you have to remember that that is your connection with what the vehicle is doing. So if it doesn't give you a sense of feel, a confidence, it's not going to work the more time you spend with it, right?
Yeah.
The other aspect was the suspension.
Okay.
Right? The suspension is very good in one way, that you do not feel the weight of this EV.
Okay.
Right? Despite that 40 kilowatt battery pack, you actually think it's lighter than the XUV300 was.
Excellent.
Right? So it really feels light on its feet. It's agile. It moves quickly. So in that sense, the Mahindra DNA of, hey, giving a little bit of youth to the way the vehicle performs, that's there. But I don't think they've finished that job off, because when you're on bumpier road surfaces, right, it moves around a bit. Throw it into a corner, it will roll a bit.
Okay.
Right? Because it is a quick. Right? It can accelerate fast. It turns fast. So you need that control as well.
So the suspension is getting loaded and it's not able to control those loads,
right,
as you push more and more on the suspension. Okay.
Now with the ESP and all, now you'll still be able to do all of this without worrying, right? Earlier it was too much, the combination of things.
Okay.
Right? So this also needs to be tied down. And they, as usual, you know, they've got those frequency selective dampers and stuff like that. So they're using good kit, right, to get this kind of ability to take big hits and not be bothered. Now, generally with EVs, as the batteries come on, the weight increases and you feel the weight of that when you're driving around, right? In the XUV's case, you don't feel that. So they've managed to strike this sense of lightness and make it feel easy to drive.
But it lasts in a narrow band, and when you step out of the band, it's gone again.
So in the city, when you think about the suspension, you'll enjoy it, right? You'll just be able to glance off big bumps, you know, not be bothered about them.
Right.
You'll just go through it. But as speeds increase, or let's say you have load, you know, you have people sitting inside, the movement will get irritating, right? That control should have been there.
Right. And you're so basically you're saying the Tata Punch EV, which was really impressive on this aspect, remains for you the EV benchmark for suspension tuning.
I mean, we have to drive it more, but that first impression of it was very good.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And that was what they have created as their new platform.
Correct.
So it's been fine-tuned to deal with the EV life, so to speak. Right? So that was the second aspect.
Right.
Right? The third aspect was a very small thing, but I think a very crucial thing as well. Right? The drive modes. So they have three drive modes. Fun, fast, and fearless. Okay.
Oh.
That's also very Mahindra. You can see that little spurt of kuch alag karte hai, right?
Zabardasti ke liye kar lo yaar, kyunki logic to hai nahi.
And the thing is, the modes should have more restraint, should have more usability to them.
Restraint and usability. Explain. Yeah.
So they are very quick. Even the fun mode is actually the only mode I would recommend to anybody.
Is that quick?
It's in fear.
Or it's too alert.
Fearless is just quick. It's like, again, if it weren't for the ESP, you would just say, do not use it, right? Do not use it, right? It's quick. Okay, it's very exciting. But I can't imagine for the life of me telling, let's say my son, when he's 18 years old, giving him this car. And the one thing I'll tell him is, do not put it in fearless. Okay, do not put it in fearless, right? It's that quick. Because again, I have to go with the caveats. If there's a corner, if it's dusty, if it's bumpy.
Oh, so back to caveats again, yeah.
Right? Mm. So you don't want to go there. So the fearless is really fast, right? And
therefore, fun is less useful than it could have been, because they could have easily tapered the performance back, given you more range out of it and made it much calmer in that mode.
Fun is fine. The problem is they've artificially limited the use case for fun by giving it a speed cap of about 90, right? So if I'm on the highway, I have no option but to go to fast.
Because you can't overtake anything.
Yeah. Hmm. Right? And I thought that was the simplest fix. And if anything, anybody using this will say, I would not want to move to fast or fearless, except for like maybe a quick burst to just like, you know, and that's it. Move back to,
right.
That's it. But even now, the drive mode logic is the same. Effectively, the motor, the battery, all of that is the same. So the drive modes have not been changed. And this was
one opportunity lost.
That is the bigger conversation that
it almost feels like the team working on this is far less mature than the guys who were working on the other three projects. It feels like the A team was sent to do the Scorpio and the XUV700, etc. And the B team was told, okay, listen, this car is in trouble. We need to fix it. And the Nexon is running away with it. Please do something.
I don't know, but it just feels like this was a product that was made, prepared some time ago. And at some point, they just kind of said, heck, we got to get a product out and let's bring that off the shelf. So it was something that was developed earlier and was just pressed into action, which is why this fix. And which is the bigger concern for me with EVs today, right? That we are going to a place like with this name, EL Pro, we are commoditizing it in a way, saying that, oh, updates are normal. But I don't think I'm okay with spending 20 lakh rupees on a car today and knowing it's now the old version and is incomplete within a year.
Yeah, but I think you don't understand today's customers. I think they do like participating in beta programs. It's just that when they're subsumed into a beta program without them realizing they have been subsumed, that's when they are in trouble. So if Mahindra were to call this the EL Pro Beta, I think people would just show up and say, yeah, we'd love to test for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is connected and all the data goes back to Mahindra and they can see what customers are doing, etc.
That's with everybody.
All EVs are like this now.
Yeah.
So if Mahindra wants to sell 15,000 of these and then they have 15,000 beta testers for them, I don't see a problem. Beta testers should get a discount though, right? They're helping you.
discount, yeah.
No, but honestly, especially with EVs, because it is new technology, it is relatively unstable technology, it has not matured to the point where it can be commoditized as easily as an ICE can be today. I would automatically, when I hear Karthik say that this car feels like they did this in a rush, they feels like they could have done it and they didn't do it, etc. My flags are up. There is just no way that anybody calls me. Normally, I tell them, if you want to buy a car, just speak to Karthik. But if they were to ask me about the XUV, I'd just tell them on point blank, saying from whatever I've heard from Karthik, this car is not worth buying yet. Finish this car and then we'll discuss. As far as I'm concerned, the XUV is finished.
Yeah.
400. Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen beta versions of scooters and we've seen how much trouble they are. And it's not just that they're breaking down or burning up. It's a fact of they're in your face every day causing some sort of hiccup here, there. And what you're basically saying is this car has moved forward two steps, but it has not become hiccup-free in the process. Whereas their competition might be a smaller car, but it is fundamentally hiccup-free and most of it works. Why would I buy this? I mean, I don't love copper that much.
Okay. Which is why when we're discussing EVs, we do so with a lot of clarification and caution.
Yeah.
You have to be clear about your use case when you're going in for an EV. For sure, it feels nice to drive EVs. And it is, trust me, a lifestyle choice more than an economics or an ecological choice. As of now, that is very clear to us. And so if you are looking to buy this just for an experience, okay, I get it. But logically, you'd be better off with a traditional petrol or diesel because that's a finished product, right? You'll have many more choices in that price range, which will just work and be more satisfying. Having said that, if you were looking for a vehicle to really use despite the shortcomings of this, as, like I said, which is why I like the basics of this car, right? It's still not going to feel as appealing on the inside as the Nexon. The Nexon's cabin feature list is much larger. So yeah, although it has all these updates in terms of screens and sound system and all, the Nexon does better than this on all those fronts, right? But this, the basics are right. So if I were to spend time driving one, I would like to drive this.
I would rather Mahindra spend time fixing it than you spend driving one.
For sure. But if anybody is looking to make a choice, that's all I'm saying.
Got it.
I appreciate the basics of this car. So that I do not have a concern with. That the interior still doesn't feel current. That its equipment list is still not as lavish as you'd like. For instance, it still doesn't get ventilated seats. It doesn't get 360-degree camera. It's got a wireless charger now. But, those kind of things which people are looking out for, it doesn't get those features.
Okay.
So it might not feel as appealing, but as a machine, if you're really going to use, this will be something that's more tireless for somebody who's covering a lot of kilometers. The caveats do apply, but thankfully with the safety aids and all in place now, it is something that can be recommended.
Right? Crash test rating?
The XUV300 was already 5 stars or something like
five.
That.
Five? Okay.
So this, but yeah, compared to the Nexon, this gets 6 airbags only in the top spec variant.
Okay.
The Nexon gets 6 airbags and all. The lower variants of the XUV400 get 2 airbags, right? Mm. So, but the good thing is you can get the smaller battery pack in the top spec version as well, the EL Pro.
So EC Pro?
No, EC is the niche wala.
That's what you just said, na? Ki you get the niche wala in the top spec.
No, no. So EC is the variant,
okay,
which comes only with the 34.5 kilowatt hour battery pack.
Okay.
The EL Pro is available both in the 34 kilowatt hour battery pack and the 40 kilowatt hour battery pack. So,
clarity, bro. Mahindra, you're killing it.
And you also have the option of getting the fast charger at home, which is a 50,000 rupee extra or something like that.
Okay.
7 kilowatt, which takes charging time down to 6.5 hours or something like that. And the good thing about the XUV400 is that it can fast charge at a public fast charger.
Okay.
Use a 50 kilowatt DC fast charger and it'll get you up to 80 in less than 50 minutes or about 50 minutes, something
that's nice.
Like less than an hour. So basically on that front, it is also better than the Nexon because the Nexon can only do, I think, about 30 or so.
Okay.
So it has a cap.
So about half as
So this quick. Is better for somebody who's clocking a lot of kilometers. The boot is bigger, backseat is better, all of that, right? So
you're saying it could have been a better car than the Nexon in so many ways. Mahindra has the basics in place.
Yes.
But it just didn't finish this car.
Correct.
And therefore, you shouldn't buy one. No, let them finish it. No.
No, no. I'm gay. I mean, the situation ends up being that you have to say, it's good, but, right?
Yeah.
That but should not exist, right?
Correct.
It should
that
just...
but should not exist.
No puns intended.
No puns intended at all. What are you saying, man?
Right, exactly. I'm just clarifying. Yeah. So, it's good to see a car with great basics. It's always so satisfying to see that. But then you have to justify the details and say that you can make peace with that. That just gets in the way of that product having its own life.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I think this is where a lot of people would want to get. It's accessible. It's a, I mean, this space, the Creta, Seltos space for EVs is the space to be because it's a healthy sized vehicle in terms of the practicality. It has the right position to even be desirable. It's not going to be too expensive. It's not going to be too cheap. It's not going to be too small. It's the right middle ground right now for our market, right? From the first wave of EV adopters, right? So it's in the right space. It's got the basics right, but it's still getting its details right.
What is the range for the EL and the EC?
EL is 450 something or 460 thereabouts.
Hmm.
The EC is 350 or something.
Okay, we'll put it on the screen.
Yeah.
And you would assume that it's about 70% of that number in the real world, which seems to be a calculation that works really well for us. Whatever ARAI's claimed cycle number is, you take about 70% of that as what you should be able to see in the real world quite easily without any effort.
We've tested this before pre this update, and it was doing about 260, 280 kilometers.
Hmm.
And in just city mode, it would do maybe 300, which leaves me with that one thing remaining, which is it has a single pedal drive mode.
Okay.
And which is an L mode that you have to use. So it's not customizable.
L?
L. Low.
Oh. What is low? The region is low.
No, low.
Kharid low.
Kharid.
As in, what is low in the L? I don't understand.
Low L mode. That's it. Low. Low.
See, I can understand low in a 4x4 as low ratio.
Yeah.
You're telling me the single pedal driving mode is called L, which stands for low. So what is low? The braking is low. I don't know.
I'll tell you what it does.
Okay. Sorry. There's no explanation for any of the names Mahindra is using this time.
Okay. So it's got the single pedal drive mode, which is not customizable, unlike the others where you can, change the regen level and all.
Right.
In this, it's just one. But the good thing is, this does bring you to a stop.
Okay.
Right? So, which means once you get the hang of it, it's not super aggressive. Right?
Okay.
So, the thing is, at lower speeds, when you get the hang of it, you can use it to control your driving in traffic as well.
Very nice. Okay.
Right? So, it is useful. Is it as potent as single pedal drive modes could be? It's not there yet.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Hmm.
I'm happy that it's come till here at least.
Hmm.
So, that it's giving you that modern EV experience, right? It's
okay.
Simplifying driving, which is what EVs should be doing considering they are so much simpler in terms of their hardware and how they work. So that is the one addition that it has, which is good. And I'm glad that it's working well.
Awesome. What's the service experience going to be like? Because Tata's, I think it's fairly clear that all the owners keep telling us that Tata's service experience is pretty terrifying. Most of them suffer quite a bit.
I think the base for the EVs is very small as of now
for
Mahindra. So I think that is a question mark. But by and large,
Mahindra, is Mahindra service a good?
It's in a much, much better place compared to Tata's reputation or generally whatever we are interacting with.
Okay.
People who own these vehicles. Mahindra is not like it's niggle-free or it's a premium experience, but at least it's not as trouble. It's not troublesome like in the way that we've heard of Tata.
Okay.
So that's by and large, it's cost-effective as well, which is also the case for Tata.
Has the price gone up in the process of making the EL Pro and EC whatever?
No, actually the prices have become lower.
Okay.
So the overall vehicle has become more accessible, which is why it's incredible that it's bigger than the Nexon. It's it has better usability overall because of its size, boot space, all of that.
Right.
And it's also priced better.
Right.
And this is after the Nexon's price has been reduced.
So the guys who bought the XUV 400 before this EL Pro and all of this happened, they must be really thrilled to see.
So I don't know how they're dealing with that. Actually, it would be interesting because if you bought one and then the vehicle's price has been reduced, what happens?
Frustration. What else?
It's not great for either
side. It's not great, but
it's not great for the person who's bought it. It's not great for the company. It just will create a bigger sense of
frustration. Yeah,
frustration and distrust. I don't know. Like next time I think about an EV, I'm already there that I'm thinking, I don't know, buy a brand new one. I'll wait 2 years. I'll see where they get to with it.
Yeah.
Right? Then I'll buy one.
Yeah. No, and that's how the mass market will work. I think there'll be early adopters who will show up and buy whatever is new because it's new. And they will accept in their natural way of thinking that there'll be a few hiccups along the way, and that's fine. But the mass market will not work like that. The mass market will arrive much later once a lot of things have stabilized. For example, we constantly get questions about, I'm ready for an EV, but I'm not able to understand what the resale values are like.
Correct.
And how will you know the resale values? Because these vehicles are unknown. Battery warranties ke baad mein kya hoga is a big question. Battery replacement costs are a major worry for so many of you. Insurance companies are not really helping you take over that cost in any particular way. I know that there are questions. Until these questions are answered, there's a whole bunch of people who simply cannot afford or have the mental capacity to say, that's okay, I will take that risk.
And just as we've seen now, the other factor is the price reductions.
Yeah.
If I had, like, let's say, bought an XUV 400 a year ago and I wanted to go sell it now, I mean, I've lost a lakh for sure because the new one is already cheaper, right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot to factor in.
Yeah. And your old XUV doesn't even have Adrenox.
Yeah.
And mine does. The new one. Is there anything else you'd like to add before I attempt a quick summary?
New steering wheel, flat bottomed.
Oh.
For the rear passengers, now there's aircon vents and a USB-C charging port. There's a 12-volt socket as well. So a little bit more convenience at the back.
Hmm.
It has those strappy seat back pockets still. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's just a string running like that. It looks really cool.
Hmm.
But as a pocket, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, but I like it. It's weird enough to be cool and just keep it. It's okay. We'll deal with the inconvenience of it.
Okay.
You can put sheets of paper. It's fine.
Okay. Sheets of paper. Yeah, I think a lot of people carry those around nowadays. Yeah.
Correct. So it'll be so very useful. You can always see what you're carrying.
And when the paper falls through, actually the paper may not fall through the strappy thing, but the phone might. And then you say, oh, sheet, which is to remind you what you should have actually put in the first place.
Yeah. So, yeah, aside from that, what else? Talking about, updates as we go along, part of which is normalized, right? So, wireless Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, it has compatibility. So, it's supposed to come in as an OTA update.
Okay.
So, the vehicle that we use just now didn't have wireless smartphone
connectivity.
But
it will get it at some point?
It will get it.
Okay.
And it should have got by now already. So, it's an OTA update. So, that's about it.
All right, it's quick summary time and I'm going to really enjoy this one. No, we're not. So Mahindra's updated the XUV 400 and they've given it a new suffix called EL Pro and there's a lower version called the EC Pro. We honestly don't know what they stand for. But the EC Pro comes in a smaller battery pack size. The EL Pro comes as a larger and a smaller battery. And we're talking about over 400 kilometers of range on ARAI test, 450-ish, and about 350 kilometers on the smaller battery pack. Assume about 70% of that is what you'd see in day-to-day real-world use. What that also means is EL Pro is effectively a trim level which sits above the EC Pro. this car has existed before, and in the powertrain, honestly, there aren't too many changes. The riding modes used to be called Fun, Fast, and Fearless. They're still called Fun, Fast, and Fearless. They're still extremely exuberant driving modes. There's lots of performance. And Karthik says there's so much performance, for example, that if you had a young kid in the family who's just learned to drive, maybe you don't want to give him the XUV 400 in Fearless mode at all, because it's just too excitable, too much performance. And there are issues in there. First, the one issue that they have solved from the previous generation is it used to spin its wheels a little bit too easily, and there was just too much torque being delivered. And now they've got traction control and ESP, which does help with that. So you're not going to spin the XUV 400 out trying to make a U-turn anymore. But this is a car that is extremely exuberant, to the point where he's saying the usability of each of those modes is limited by the fact that Mahindra didn't calibrate it to a more useful setting. So it can feel extremely fun to drive in short bursts, but it can be slightly tiring to drive because you're constantly trying to manage the, oh, there's so much performance and it's always like that. In the same breath, fast fun mode, for example, the top speed is capped to just 90 kilometers an hour. So it's a great mode to drive out on the highway with, but good luck trying to overtake anything that's going at the speed limit, because there isn't enough of headroom left to go past something and settle down. So there is a usability challenge that they could have solved by updating the calibrations for the riding modes, which they've not, driving modes, which they haven't done. Similarly, they've recalibrated the suspension on this. It does work really well in the city environment, but when you start pushing more load onto this suspension, which is go a little bit faster around a corner, accelerate a little bit harder, drive a little bit faster, then suddenly you'll deal with a lot of body roll. And what he's saying is there is fairly good levels of hardware in there. Mahindra should have been able to calibrate it to a better setting, but for some strange reason, they haven't. The basics of this car actually are very good, which is a underlying theme that you'll see again and again. So visually, it is not significantly different from the previous car. At the back, it's a slightly ornate set of tail lamps that really got his goat a little bit. But it's still the same with the copper details, and it's a slightly flashy looking car. But because this came from a larger than 4 meter...
Please change the Mahindra logo. Please. Please.
But you don't like butterflies, huh?
Oh my God. Anyways, sorry.
So, since the XUV 400 comes from a larger car, from a more than 4 meter long car, and now it has reattained that length, it now looks like a proportionate large car. So it's wider than all the competition in the segment. It does look nice. It's a little bit flashy, and you'll have to decide whether you like it or not. The white test car he got with the copper highlights, it looked nice. And we're not sure what the other colors are like. We haven't actually seen them. Interiors, it's always been a spacious interior with really comfortable seats, remains like that. It's got a massive boot because of its length, remains like that. The rear seat isn't the best that you'll use, but the basics are right. It's a comfortable place, and they've added the rear AC vents and USB ports and all the stuff that millennials need to sit back there and not complain too much, and millennials' children also. In the front, again, it's a good driving position for a long drive. You've got a new steering wheel with a flat bottom. I don't know how that helps, but if that helps, leave us a comment. And you've also got a redesigned center console, and you've got the dual screens from the XUV 700 more or less with a similar kind of software update. So in that sense, they've updated the interior to the current day. But what Karthik is saying is they've left some of the older elements in, they've brought some of the new elements together, and therefore it doesn't feel as cohesively current as, let's say, the Nexon EV feels, as an example. There is room for Mahindra to take the XUV 400 a lot more seriously. And every time we've talked about this car in this podcast episode, we keep coming back to the idea that this seems like Mahindra's rushing to keep a toe in the door rather than create a persuasive experience for an electric vehicle customer. And honestly, there's no reason for them to rush, because look, this car is larger than the Nexon. It is less expensive than the Nexon, and it has good bones and basics. And therefore, there is a very powerful and persuasive electric vehicle inside the XUV right now. But the way the EL Pro and the EC Pro are today, that's not it. And therefore, if you were looking at the XUV 400, get a test drive for sure. But I'm not sure that we'll still recommend this car. We haven't recommended it over the last year because of the lack of TC and ESP. Today, we are saying there's a better experience in this car that Mahindra needs to extract and deliver. And at that point, this car will become extremely recommendable. Today is not that day. How did I do?
Very good.
Would you rate my summary out of 10, please? We've not done this in a while. I think it'll be fun to do it again.
And remember, when you're thinking EV, think about all the factors, from owning one to selling one again before you take a call. We enjoy the EV experience. But remember, if you're trying to convince yourself EV from an economic standpoint and ecological standpoint.
Yeah, if you're considering EVs from that point of that perspective, there are more questions than answers still, even today. But tell me this, you've said earlier that an electric vehicle as a lifestyle choice, you understand. For everybody else, there are lots of questions. So let's say you're not in the lifestyle choice guy person. Okay, you've decided that this ecological thing, yeah, it's in the background. It is what it is. Why would you buy an electric vehicle today at all then?
If it's not a lifestyle decision.
If it's not a lifestyle choice.
It only will work if I'm really doing many, many kilometers every month. Only then will the economics kick in, right? So we're talking about you have to be doing at least 100 kilometers a day.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
that's 5 days a week.
I'm saying 7 days a week.
Oh, sure. So you have to do 700 kilometers a week kind of mileage.
And I'm saying this is thinking about a few of the what if scenarios.
Okay.
Right? You want, I mean, we used to say 2000 kilometers per diesel electric. Are in that same ballpark.
Got it.
Right? And in my head, I don't remember the exact calculation back then that I'd done, but in my head, it was in the region of 2,500 to 3,000 kilometers.
A month.
Yeah.
So if you're not driving 2,500 to 3,000 kilometers a month, the economics of the electric vehicle are just not going to work out for you.
It is. So 24,000 to 36,000 kilometers a year is the ballpark that you have to be in for it to make any sort of sense.
Got it.
Right? If you're not in that space, then thinking of an EV is a lifestyle choice.
Okay. Now, let's be clear about this. These are just the economics of it, right? Because there are other advantages to EVs that you will enjoy every day. Not going to a petrol pump is a little bit of a saving, for sure, in the experience. How silent they can be and therefore how smooth they feel is definitely an experience. How quick they can be when they accelerate and it's calibrated well is insane. And we've not seen ICEs at these price points that replicate that experience at all. So these parts of the lifestyle, EVs are very, very persuasive. But if you're thinking you want to save money by buying an EV, that may not always be accurate unless you really do drive your vehicle a lot.
Correct.
And that's before you take the ecological considerations, where there is still some amount of debate as to over the life cycle of an EV, is it actually cleaner than an ICE or not? We're not going to get into the debate this time. I think that we should leave for Disconnect as an episode. We'll check what the latest research is and come back and put the best picture we can. And I'm telling you, the picture will be gray. It will not be black and white even at that point of time.
Yeah.
But until that point, this is our story on the XUV 400. I don't think we've missed anything.
No. 0 to 100, 8.3 seconds, 150 PS, 155 kilometers an hour top speed. Yeah, that's...
So that is the story of the Mahindra XUV 400. In sum, we do think this is a great electric vehicle. Potentially, in what has been realized so far, it's a step forward from the old one, but it's still a long step away from what would have been a truly easy to recommend. Everybody's going to like this car. What you do get is a lot of space. It is perhaps the most spacious car in the segment, but there are lots of hiccups in the experience that will get in your way. And so today, we are going to leave this with the idea that Mahindra still needs to do a lot more work, and adding an EL Pro to the name is really honestly not going to cut it.
The one thing that will help fix this is get the drive modes right. If the drive modes get right, the driving experience will automatically improve. Smoothness, the suspension, what it needs to work, how it needs to work, all of that will improve. And that would be my number one on the list of things to fix.
All right. So if Mahindra were to change the calibrations for the driving modes, there would be a significant jump in experience. And we leave you with that thought. If there's anything that you'd like to know more about, do leave us a comment. We try and get to all of our comments. It gets harder every single day because you guys comment so much, but we're still trying. We're still trying to keep up. We're also now thinking of, is there an alternative way to deal with the comments? Because this can get messy really quickly and it's hard to track conversations, but we're working on this. In the meantime, thank you so much for watching. This is Motoring First. It does come on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon Podcasts. If you'd like to listen to it instead of watch it here on YouTube with us. Thank you.